have in my notes this morning. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, this is the reason that we're doing this. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's what's going on in our world today. And the Bible talks about in one place that the deception is so great that if it were possible, it would deceive even the elect. But we've got, I grew up in church all my life, and there are things that I was told that I believe was true. King James Bible is the Bible to use, that there's certain types of music we need to stay away from. But unfortunately, nobody ever explained to me why those were the good stances. Why do we fall under the King James authority? Why do we avoid this type of music? Nobody ever explained the dangers. Nobody explained to me why do we do that? Why do we believe that? I was just told and expected to fall in line. I think it's important for us to understand these things so that when somebody comes along that doesn't see that point, we have an answer for them. And it helps us not to be caught by the winds of doctrine that are blowing around in this world. All right. And those songs are fine, brother. There's nothing wrong that I'm aware of. So I just want to let you know that. All right. So we're going to start off a little bit more a comparison of the two spirits, the false spirit and the Holy Spirit that we talked about last week, just very briefly here. And then we're going to go into what I told you we were going to be talking about. All this false spirit that we talked about last week, most of that stuff was dealing with worldly things. We're going to see how it's affecting the churches today here in America and in the world, really. We know that we have the two spirits. The false spirit, now these are the way that these spirits operate, okay? First of all, the false spirit operates in positivity. That's what they're all about, being positive. It's all about love. It's what I call the hippie Christians, okay? That's the, God is love, yes, he is, but he's also just. He's also holy. He also has wrath. He's all of those things together, but they try to throw all that to the back and say, well, we're just focused on positive, okay? That's how they work. In Isaiah 30:10, it says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth sayings, prophesy deceits. Here's an example. They were saying, don't tell us what's right. Tell us good stuff that we want to hear. Tell us smooth things, it says there. Soothsayers. That's what these people that follow this false spirit, that's what they're going in line with. Say something wrong?
No, I told
you. Okay, he's not positive enough. Yeah. Okay. and we talked about this last week. Joel Osteen fits right into this major. He's a big example, but it goes farther out than that. You look at Steve Harvey. Everybody likes Steve Harvey, right? But if you listen to him and the things that he says, this is what he focuses on. Positivity. And he has also said that there's more than one way to heaven. But that positivity, that nice guy projection, that's what attracts people. That's what pulls them into it. Next thing we see is it is worldly, okay? 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The spirit, the false spirit, is the spirit of the world. There you look at how people dress, their lifestyle, how they act. It's worldly. It's not where we should be. It's a totally different spirit. It is also a spirit of error. It acts in error. In Hosea 4:12, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err. It says, and they have gone a-whoring under their God. And then in 5:4, it says, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. It's the exact same thing today. They have fallen under this spirit of whoredom, a spirit of error. It's led them into error. That's why their doctrine is crap. That's why they have nothing to stand on. They can't support it with the Bible. Now, this one's a big one, and this is where you get into trouble. Feelings. It is based on emotion and feelings. How I feel. That's where people get into trouble. We are not to base our lives, Christianity, on how we feel. If we did that, we would be in the same boat as these people here, and we would be in a world of trouble. In Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If we base what we do in the ministry on our feelings, that's where we're going to end up right there. Desperately wicked. Because that's at the base of it. That's our hearts. That is at the base of the false spirit in this world today. Another thing here, it says they operate in channeling. Right here I have of a person serving as a medium for a spirit. That's where you look into these prosperity gospel preachers, word of faith, that they're always saying, God told me this last night. They're channeling spirits. That's not how God operates right now. We have His Word, and that's where we get messages from Him, is through His Word. But they'll say, God told me this last night, and this is what we need to know, and this is what we need to do. There was a Word of Faith preacher, and I can't remember his name, that died not long ago. And he's friends with Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis. And I saw somebody playing a clip of the message he preached the day before he died. And he was talking about how God told him these messages that the night before that he needed to give to them so that they can see how good their year of 2024 was going to be. And then he died the next day. Well, obviously, it wasn't as good for him. So, but channeling, that's what they do with this false spirit, because it's not of God. Now, on the flip side, the Holy Spirit. Now, we see here positivity. The Holy Spirit's focused on the truth. John 16:13, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is not focused on what sounds good and what makes you feel good. He's going to tell you the truth, even if it hurts. All right? He operates through holiness. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. If He's operating in your life, you're going to be moving towards holiness. He operates through doctrine, sound doctrine. 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calling Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. He is going to lead you into truth and the sound doctrine. He operates by faith, not feelings. Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. That's how the Holy Spirit operates, is through faith, not feelings. And the last thing here, through the Word of God, in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort all with all longsuffering and doctrine. Notice, reprove and rebuke are negatives. And exhort is a positive. You can't have the truth without the negatives. And the Holy Spirit works that way through the Word of God here. It says, for the time will come, in verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, their feelings, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's the smooth sayings we talked about. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So this is just the short comparison I want to do a little bit more between the false spirit and the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to get into what I've been telling you we've been working towards. And this is how the false spirit is working in churches today in our world. First thing we're going to look at, does anybody know the word esoteric? All right. Esoteric is defined as intended for or likely to be understood by only a small number of people with a specialized knowledge or interest. Basically, you can't understand this unless you become a part of our group. Okay? It's discerned in a sense. And esoteric is a word that you hear a lot of these people operating under the false spirit use. Okay? If you hear esoteric, that's a word that you need to run from. Okay? Magic. I told you we was going to talk about magic. Magic, the power of apparently influencing the course of events by using mysterious or supernatural forces. Using magic or working by magic, having apparently having supernatural powers to move, change, or create by or as if by magic. Here it says the performance of magic involves spells, incantations, and charms. The symbolic numbers that are thought to have innate power, natural or man-made material objects, and rituals, actions performed by the magician or other participants. A spell or incantation is believed to draw power from spiritual agencies to accomplish magic. Now, I'm going to show you how these people are doing this in churches. First of all, and I'm going to call people out, so if that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry, but I got Bible to prove it. So, false teachers under the false spirit teach about what they call a spirit energy, okay? That spirit energy falls into the definition here of magic, okay? Today, they call the spirit energy faith. Now, we all know who Kenneth Copeland is, right? Kenneth Copeland refers to it as a faith force. You remember we talked about Star Wars and the Force? That's basically what he's equating it to. This is what he says on his website. He says, you have a mighty power and power force inside you, the force of faith. Although faith is not tangible, it is a substance that can be formed into the fulfillment of God's promises. Develop and use faith today because your faith in God's word leads you to victory. You notice he says that the faith can be formed. It can be used to do what your will is, okay? He is literally equating faith, or equating magic to faith. He's calling magic faith. And I'm going to show you a few videos here, because I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. All right, hopefully this will work. It's going to start. That's what we just read, actually. Now we had Joyce Myers and Stephen Furtick on the end of that. You see what I'm talking about? How they equate faith to it's basically magic is what they're presenting it as under a different name. You heard what they describe God as, is what Stephen Furtick said. This is not biblical. This is not truth. This is the false spirit that is working in those churches today. Like I said, I told you we're going to call some names. There's three right there. We already called Joel Osteen. Now we're going to talk about Tony Evans. Ever heard of Tony Evans? He has a daughter that's also famous at Travels, Priscilla Shire. Ever heard of her? If you need to stay away from them. These are a couple of things that Tony Evans believes and teaches. One is transdispensationalism. And basically this is the idea that someone that has never heard the gospel, like in a third world country, but if they walk in the light that they have, in other words, they live a good life, that they'll still go to heaven. Billy Graham actually said this exact same thing in one point, and I have a video with him saying it that I can pull up. That is not biblical, okay? The people, they are falling into all kinds of bad doctrine through this stuff. He has something that he calls the kingdom agenda, which speaks of aligning ourselves with God so that his breath becomes our breath, and changing the atmosphere of our lives, changing the things around us, saying through God, we are touching heaven and changing earth. This stuff is not in the Bible, and this is what these people are teaching. And a lot of these people that I'm naming, they're the ones producing a lot of the music that are being sung in churches across this country. And the thing is people are not looking it up. They're not seeing what the source of this music is coming from. This is bad. This is not stuff that we need to be involved in at all. Another thing, if you hear this term, you need to run. Christ consciousness, or the universal Christ, says an awareness of a higher self. Notice it's all about self. As a part of a universal system, although it can be interpreted a number of ways, the common understanding is that the Christ consciousness is a state of consciousness in which a person has found self-realization and unity with God or the divine. It may also be used as a synonym for the yogic and Hindu concept, and I'm not even going to try that, or deep spiritual bliss. See, there's also this tie to the Eastern mysticism. We talked about prana last week. And that's the breathing exercises. And here's pranayama. It's a collection of breathing exercises developed by ancient yogis for purification, mental focus, rejuvenation, and healing. Prana translates literally into life force energy. And yama translates into control or mastery of. Thus, pranayama is a breathing technique used to control, cultivate, and modify the amount, quality, flow, and direction of vital energy in the body. It's also called breath control. And has anybody ever heard of Jake Paul? I believe he fights. Is it MMA that he does? Both, and boxing. So he does this before his boxing fights. He'll be over in the corner of the ring sitting down, and he's taking in these huge breaths, and then like when he's letting them out, he's screaming. He's practicing pranayama to prepare himself for his battles, his fights that he's about to do. He's practicing that. We just had, not too awful long ago, the NCAA championship game. Wolverines, Michigan Wolverines, their quarterback did the same thing before his games. He would go off on the field over near the goalpost, and he did the exact same practice of this pranayama. I'm going to show you a video. Stephen Furtick does the same thing, but he renames it, and he, instead of prana, he calls it the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to try to see if I can pull this up. 146. Maybe this will work for me. Hopefully I won't get an ad. I may have to play just a little bit to get into it. Oh, I think I got an ad. I do not support this. I'm not as tech savvy as some. Sorry. Well, may have to come back to that. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll come back to that. We'll finish everything and then come back to those. I don't know why it wouldn't want to load. But basically, he sits down in this video and he does these breathing exercises. And he's doing a video telling you how he does it. And this is what he says. He takes in the deep breaths and he says, I breathe you in, Holy Spirit, and I feel your power and strength come upon me. He's doing the exact same stuff as these two individuals are here, but they're renaming it. They're giving it, putting a Christian name on top of it, and people are falling for it. If you name Stephen Furtick right now, there are so many people in this world, they love him. But the man's a heretic and he teaches bad doctrine and people don't see it. And a lot of the praise and worship music today comes from his church, Elevation Music. It's one of the ones we need to avoid. Now, let's get more into the music part of it. The music equation with the magic, they like to talk about frequency and vibration a lot, okay? In the frequency, we know the rate of which something occurs or is repeated in a particular period of time, also equivalent with the vibration and the waves. Mystics believe that everything operates on a frequency, including our health, wealth, and our emotional state. They believe if you can control the frequency of your body, you can control all of these aspects of life. This is accomplished by raising your frequency, and they believe that the higher your frequency, the better off you're going to be. Right. So they believe the highest frequency, they call it love, and the lowest frequency, they call hate. Okay. And so they believe that they can try to increase your body's frequency. And we're going to give you a few more definitions, some other words we need to understand before we go further on. Another word they use for frequency is your aura. Has anybody ever heard of the word aura? And I have a picture over here to the side. It's kind of an example of it. Basically, everybody supposedly has an aura around you, and it's basically your frequency is what they're saying. It's the distinctive atmosphere or quality that surrounds or is generated by a person, a place, or a thing. So there's in spiritual and some forms of alternative medicine, it is regarded as an essential part of the individual. That's the frequency that they are trying to see if they can control. One of the ways they do that is through something called alignment. This is the process of controlling your frequency. If you desire something, then you align your frequency to match the frequency of what you desire. And this brings in the law of attraction, and then what you desire will be attracted to you. So basically what they're saying is if money has a certain frequency, then if you can make your frequency align up with that frequency of the money, then money will come to you. That's the process that they actually believe and think. They are so crazy about being careful about your words of positive and negative in this law of attraction. They will even say, this is going to sound funny, but they will say, you need to be careful what you say. Has anybody ever said the term, that tickled me to death? They would be afraid to say that because they would believe it could actually kill you because you spoke death. That's the mindset of the people that fall into this stuff. I'm telling you, it's crazy, and it is getting soaked into these churches. Has anybody ever heard the term as below or as above, so below? It's an occult thing. And if you usually when you see it, you see a picture of a tree with branches. And then below, it looks like a tree upside down, but it's the roots going down. And basically, the rest of it says, as within, so without. They believe that they can affect the world around them by controlling the world in them. Okay? Bill Johnson, the pastor of Bethel Church in California, he basically teaches if you have internal victories that you get yourself under control within the inside, then it will eventually affect and change your surroundings to match that. He goes to teach specifically where Jesus calmed the storm for the disciples on the boat. He doesn't equate to the storms just obeying God. He said that Jesus had an internal victory and his internalness is what caused the outernal to calm down. That's the process, the mind thought of these type of people. That's the alignment that it's talking about. That's their thought. There's another term called gnosis. Gnosis is the knowledge of spiritual mysteries. It's an esoteric knowledge of spiritual truth held by ancient Gnostics, which we know that they are flat out heretics, to be essential to salvation. And a lot of it talks about heaven touching earth. That's stuff we needed to know before we get to this next part. All right, so has anybody ever heard the term mantra? All right, so the mantra is a sacred utterance, a numerous sound, syllable, or word group of words. It's believed by the practitioners to have religious, magical, or spiritual powers. This has its really centered in Hinduism. As I said here, a mantra is a mystic sound with an energetic force compromise of syllable, word, or phrase. When admitted correctly, they believe it awakens a higher level of consciousness. Reciting mantras creates a vibrational frequency that shifts the balanced energy throughout the body. Now, that's where this finally comes into play. The Om is the mantra of Hinduism, Eastern mystics, and it has made its way into the Western world through our praise and worship music and contemporary Christian music. And I'm going to explain a little bit about that and give you some examples if I can get my videos to work. So the Om, and by the way, I spelled it wrong the other day. It doesn't have the H. That's just the electrical one. It's just OEM. All right. So, but the symbol was spelled right. All right. So the Om, or considered the God frequency, it's the mantra that's used in Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, and Sikhism. It's one of the most important symbols in Hinduism, and it represents a supreme absolute consciousness. The essence of the sound Om vibrates at a certain frequency, and they had listed here at 432 hertz, supposedly the same frequency found in things throughout nature. And basically what they believe is they believe that God resides in that frequency. That's what they believe. And so if they can get their body, their frequency, in that frequency, that gives them access to God in their minds and their thought processes. The only problem is what they're gaining access to is the false spirit. Okay? So chanting the Om supposedly raises your vibration. It attracts positive energy, and it helps you achieve enlightenment and gnosis that we talked about earlier. Now, the Hindus use something, I got a picture of it here, is called singing bowls. So they take this piece of wood there, and you can either run it around the outside of the bowl, kind of like you've seen people with the glasses where you run your finger around the top and it creates that sound. It kind of the same concept. They run it around that, or they can actually hit it on the sides in certain areas. It creates that same Om that you hear, that we think about with the monks when they're sitting there doing, you know, and they go Om. It's the same frequency. Everything is focused around that mantra. So it makes that sound, and they use these in medicine. They use them in the spiritual, whatever you call it, services, I guess. Those are used. Also, the Hindus would use bells. This is probably going to surprise a few of you. The Hindu temples, bells were used to create that same vibration, that Om. They believed it awakened the gods, and that their vibrations also repel negative energy and evil spirits. Did y'all know that's actually the origin of church bells? It came through the Hindu temples. And then guess who got it after that? The Catholics. The Catholic uses bells in place of the singing bowls, just like in the Hindu temples, for the same purpose of repelling negative energy and evil spirits. And I've got a video for this too. We're going to try to see if we can get it after we get through this. So the Catholics also use the Om in their music. You ever heard of Gregorian hymns or chants? Just that real low kind of throaty sound. They do that because they're trying to stay on that same frequency of the Om. It's the same thing. It's just something they brought in and made it a part of their religion. All right. So I'm going to explain the process of basically the Eastern mystic services, what they do. Every time that they are doing these, they always start with the mantra, the Om. It always starts with that because that gets them in the right frequency. Okay? Things that follow after that, and what they're trying to do is they're really trying to excite what they think is God, but it's that false spirit. it creates a hypnotic trance or trance state. That's what they're trying to achieve. All right. Not all the time, but sometimes drug use is involved in this as well. I believe you talked about that last week. And then the body experiences an energy release. Gnosis, which we talked about, is experience. They believe that it opens them up to God, to a higher consciousness, a higher level is obtained. This results in something called kriyas. That's uncontrollable moving or dancing that can take place. Euphoric emotions, something called mudras, which is basically hand symbols. It can also be the whole body, but most time it's with the hands. Tongues is a result of this, or over in the East, they call it light language. Both of them are the same thing. It's just basically gibberish coming out of your mouth. That means nothing. And visions, all of this equals what they call an experience. Now, I want you to think about here in America. Can you look at this and see this in a modern day praise and worship service? I'm going to show you that they start with the Om, that they have it in their music. You ever see how they get, you'll see the people, they'll be up there doing this. It's like they're in a trance almost. All right. Like I said, sometimes drug use is involved, not always. They have an emotional release. This is what they believe is what's happening, and is they're getting a higher consciousness attained. And guess what? You ever notice any of this type of stuff going on in those services? Tongues, visions, dancing, euphoric emotion. It's the same stuff from the Eastern mysticism rebranded and pitched to people in America as Christianity. And there are people like crazy that are falling into it and being led astray. And this stuff right here is starting to sneak into even the independent Baptist churches. When this stuff gets into the church, it's corruption. It's that leaven we talked about. And that leaven doesn't just affect a little bit. It leavens what? The whole lump. And before too long, you see churches doing things that you never thought they would ever do. And that's what we're trying to guard against, all right? Some examples of a mantra or the Om, you ever heard of ambient music? Where it doesn't have actual notes, it's just kind of, some people call it floaty music, it's just kind of there, or free time music, that's example of this Om type music. Praise and worship music, I have another video I want to get to, and we're going to try because this is the last thing. Other red flag words. If you hear people or a preacher use these words here as well, shift or destiny or deconstructing faith, you need to run from them. They'll talk about God's about to shift. The atmosphere is about to shift. That's not Bible. Destiny, that's not a Bible term, okay? That's a Eastern mysticism term. Deconstructing faith, do y'all know what that is? When you hear somebody talking about deconstructing their faith, what that means is, I grew up in church being taught this. Now I'm older, I'm not sure I believe that's true, so I'm going to break everything apart and try to get back down to the basis. But usually what happens is they end up going way left and way off out into basically heretic area. Every time. Anytime I've ever heard anybody use this term, they go off the deep end. That stuff we need to avoid. That stuff, it's dangerous. Now, I'm going to try to see if I can get this video to play. All right, so it's about to start. This is the one about Stephen Furtick basically practicing pranayama, but he's calling it the Holy Spirit. Sorry, it started a little earlier than I meant it to. Because Stephen Furtick is not a Christian. Stephen Furtick is an Eastern mystic.
I want you to see what he has to say of this video. Today, I just want to share a prayer that I've been praying. I have moments, like I'm sure you do, where I feel overwhelmed with a lot of little things. Sometimes it's just when I find myself getting to that place, there's a prayer and an action that I started taking, and it starts like this. I breathe you in, Holy Spirit. I breathe you in, Holy Spirit. And strength comes suddenly. I breathe you in, Holy Spirit. And your strength comes suddenly. And your peace fills me completely. I breathe you in, Holy Spirit. And strength comes suddenly. And your peace fills me completely.
God, it's the same stuff, but they're trying to pass it off as Christianity. And people don't see it. And the reason most people don't see it is because most of them aren't saved anyways. And so it's a danger. Let's see. There was that one. Let's see if I can find that next one. I wish that would have worked right off the bat. But all right. This one is going to be talking about the Om in Catholicism, 217. Let's see if I can get it to work. By the way, if you ever get the chance to watch this video, it's like 4 hours, but I'm only scratching the surface of this stuff, and it touches on all of this way better. It's called Third Adam 4. So if you ever get a chance to at least listen to it, like while you're working or something, I do support bacon. Well, it's going to give us two. Here we go. Now this is... We're about to listen to a Catholic priest, and he's going to talk about these bells and things that we were just talking about, and how that they use them for exorcists when they're doing an exorcism, and how they use it in the background, and how that the sound repels evil spirits, the church bells and things like that.
A lot of times what we'll do is we'll just a series of prayers, but then we also have them play chants in the very low level where they can just barely hear it, but we have them play it in their house all the time. And so what we found is a lot of times that will drive the demons out, very similar to what one demon said about bells, that bells actually drive the demons out. That sound, actually the sound itself is repulsive to them, and it actually drives them out, the air drives them out of the location. We found that playing chant in the low level in the background, not only does it have a calming effect on people because of the orderliness of it as a form of music, but it also then has that effect of driving the demons out. So a lot of times we clean up houses or clean people themselves. Once they do these prayers and do that, a lot of times just be cleaned up and we don't have to see them. Another example.
See how that they're using that? That's the Om he was talking about. The chant, the bells, it's all the same thing. So I think I had one more that we were going to do. Yes. Now this is the video about, this is going to play the beginning of a lot of real well-known and well-used praise and worship music today. It's just going to play the first part of it. I want you to listen and you can hear that Om at the beginning of the song. 221:12. I got big fingers, so it's kind of hard to.
For sure.
It's going to get to it here in just a second. All right, turn it up just a little bit. Do you hear that? Where it's just the. How almost all of these songs have that at the very beginning, that just flat Om. It's that same frequency. And there's a lot of examples he's given here. And that is where the origin of that is, that sound, that's the frequency. It is in their music. And I'm going to show you this. This is what I told you I was going to show. I'm going to show you an example of it in an independent Baptist. Anybody ever heard of C.T. Townsend? This song is called "You Don't Owe Me." We used to sing it all the time at the church I was at before. I want you to listen to how this song starts. It's the exact same thing. That right there is the ohm. It has snuck its way from Eastern mysticism over into the West. And what they're doing when they do this in those services is they are literally exciting that false spirit in those church services. Now, I used to think and wonder, there's no way that all these people could be really believe this stuff. They've got to be faking it. But then you'll hear people say, well, I know what I felt. Something happened. And the more I've looked into this, the more I realize, yes, they did feel something. But because they felt something does not mean it was of God. This stuff is a cancer that is spread to the U.S., spread into our churches, and it is a danger to us if we do not guard our music. It will infect our church, and before you know it, our standards are going to drop. We're going to become more worldly. We're going to change what version of the Bible we're okay with. We're going to allow things to be said and done in this church that you never would have thought would have happened. And where is it going to start? It's going to start in the music. Because we're real careful about what goes on behind the pulpit when it's being preached. But how many churches do you know are very particular about what's allowed to be sung? There are some out there. There are. I've been in them. But a lot of them don't. And that's where the foothold starts. And that's where it becomes a problem. That's why I'm trying to help you understand that I'm not just up here saying, don't sing this music because I don't like the style. It has nothing to do with the style. It's about the source, and it's about what's involved in it and what it will lead to. It's a slippery slope, and it's already got so many of our churches already. I'm begging you, consider this. Consider the music you listen to. Where does it come from? Because it matters. Anybody have any questions or things to say?
Who is the greatest musician? Nobody better than him. He is a musician. Who he is.
Yep.
Not as. About it. Initially, just back and say, I don't like it. I like that song. I've never said you shall. You look at churches, at nightclub, doctrine, all. Why would I want to be involved in it? That was. Me personally, I didn't know what you've shown us and you told us. I couldn't have demonstrated. I've never even heard of these churches or these groups. I've heard the churches, but not the groups. But it's good to know, have some information to back up what I've always known. Man, this modern form of church and worship and Christianity, God ain't nowhere in it. Mm-hmm. And why would we get involved and participate in what they are putting out? That's not.
Oh, no, I completely agree. Like I said, my goal was not to come out swinging and say, you bunch of idiots, listen to this. My goal was to lay a case out to show you why we have this stance, show you the reason that you need to avoid these people and the stuff that they're involved in, to help you to understand, to see that, so you can make that decision on your own of whether you not need to be involved in that or not. The question is do you want to please God? And if you want to please God, that is not the way to do it. Anybody else? Okay, well, I hope that wasn't too rough on y'all. So, all right. Would you dismiss us, please?